Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. It is a holiday week, thus we are taping a day early here for Behind the Bets. We're going to get posted. Mr. Executive Director John Murray is going to be joining us. Going to break down the upcoming weekend. So many moving parts with playoff scenarios. Also, the race for the number one pick. Why? Because the Jets won and the Jags continue to lose. What's the fallout there? Some huge upsets last weekend. We'll pick his brain. We're also going to talk to Mike Tannenbaum, who did a wonderful job here on the podcast a couple weeks ago. We love all of our NFL analysts, so good to get him back. Always interesting. I'm going to give him some coin flip games. He's going to pick one team that might surprise you given how they've played recently to win the game this weekend. Also, who's on upset alert? Some of those teams that we like to tease down. So maybe those 7.5, 8.5. He's got one of them he thinks could lose. He was impressed with the team they're playing. So maybe if we like those teasers, I'm doing a teaser in the Bonanza and lost the Steelers, misread that one. Obviously got the teaser win on Saturday, but the gap is closed, so I have about a $4,000 lead over Mr. Murray, so we'll do some picks at the end heading into the holiday weekend. College football. So there's no college football pod this week, just schedules, and really, the bowl season's really tough. We know that. We still post picks on ESPN.com's chalk section. I hope you go check those out. Three of us were on BYU, and I had the over in the opener with North Texas and App State, but just a lot of these are really hard. You don't know who's going to play. Like, for example, Houston's got COVID issues. And as much as I liked Houston against Hawaii, the Rainbow Warriors, they've been fun to root for all year, but they don't travel that well. Houston obviously had some big games, had a tight one with BYU earlier this year, but I just don't know with all the COVID stuff. And then the opt-outs, we just don't know what to expect. I mean, there's rumors that Patterson's going to play for Buffalo. That wasn't the original report. They're favored by 4.5 over Marshall. Thundering Herd, really some head-scratching performances the last couple of weeks. So we just, Patterson was Heisman. He's not going to be a finalist. He's not going to be, a winner, but he might be like top five in voting. So when a guy like that has uncertain status, you just really just can't force a play. You just got to wait till you get all the information. One play I like, and a lot of the guys I've talked to, is Liberty +7 against Coastal. And it's actually trickling up to 7.5. Coastal has been a kind of a media darling. We love the chance even here on the pod. I know Bear and Steve do too, and they've been great. And they deserve the credit they've been getting. And they've been undefeated. That's awesome. But Liberty, don't sleep on this team either. The Flames only have one loss. That was by a single point at NC State. Their defense is their calling card. And they have plenty of offense here. So to be laying or to be getting 7.5 now against Coastal, and this line's probably going to trickle up between now and Saturday, I definitely like Liberty. I had to do a best bet for the bowl games in terms of the first week for SportsCenter, and Liberty was my play. So I'm all in on the Flames. And I would actually wait, maybe do half your bet to grab the 7.5 in case there's some buyback by sharp money. But I do think between now and kickoff, it will trickle up. But if you're getting over 7, might as well grab it for at least a portion. Next week, we'll do more college football handicapping on a separate pod. And then we'll have the NFL podcast as well next week. Remember, UFC's on a little bit of a break. And I hope everyone caught the NBA season outlook, the season win total draft, if you will, with Preston Johnson and Brian Windhorst. A lot of good insight. Even if it's after the season started and the win totals are off the board, there's tons of information there, even from a day-to-day basis, or just if you're an NBA fan. It's really good because Brian gave us about an hour of his time, and he's always got good nuggets, so go check that out. But before we get into today's episode, I want to tell everyone about a special ESPN podcast. 30 for 30 Podcast presents March 11th, 2020, a standalone audio documentary that tells the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans. As told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci, March 11th, 2020, will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 Podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking is for losers.
All right, time to roll up the sleeves, bring in Mr. Executive Director. Busy week upon us. We need all the information we can get. How are you, sir?
Doing good, doing good. We're coming off of a big weekend at the sports book, so we're very happy. We're like conquering heroes around here, at least until the next game.
Well, I want to ask you about that.
At least until the next Saturday or Sunday where we lose and they are emailing me asking what we did wrong.
Right, right. So let's talk more about the Jets with the upset and then the Bengals on primetime Monday Night Football. What did that do for the house?
Well, the Monday night game was huge. You know, we won a good number Saturday. We won a really good number Sunday. And I texted a few of the big bosses and I just said, just to let you guys know, I know we did well on Saturday and Sunday, but we've got all this money line parlay liability going to the Steelers. So we're going to have to kind of pay that bill on Monday night when the Steelers win. We've been kind of pushing all this into the future and we haven't gotten crushed on it yet, but we're going to get crushed Monday night. And then the Bengals somehow won the game, and we won a ton. So it was a really, really good weekend for us, and highlighted by that Bengals somehow beating Pittsburgh on Monday night. I never even thought it was possible. I even told our GM, that's why I have to keep working, because I never even thought of it. When I told her on Sunday night that we were going to have to pay this bill on the Steelers Monday, it was because I really didn't think it was possible the Steelers could lose, and that's why I have to keep working for a living.
Imagine you did not text your bosses about the bonanza, the big outcome that you needed in the bonanza not to cover. So I was obviously
somehow that
off.
Didn't come up that that somehow didn't come up in that conversation. No,
yeah.
No.
So I was obviously caught off guard. How was it just all money line parlays? What was the key to like the Jets and then that?
Well, for the Steelers, it's money line parlays. So it's money line parlays that were building throughout the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. You know, going from Clemson, going from Alabama, going from Canelo Alvarez, going into the NFL game Sunday to the Cleveland Browns and then closing with the Steelers, and they all just go up in flames. Plus, we had a guy make a big straight bet on the Steelers money line on Monday. I mean, I think he bet, I want to say, 30,000 on Steelers money line on Monday just to steal pretty a small amount of money considering what he was risking, and he got snapped.
That's
on
like a couple grand payout. So
yeah, and but with the Jets game, with the Jets Rams game, it was different. We didn't really win that much money because the Jets won the pregame bets. They're people don't really like to throw a -3,000 money line favorite like the Rams into their money line parlays. That's not where we won all the money on the Jets game. We won all the money on the second half because you've got the Jets up 13-3. And you've got people laying 10.5, laying 11 with the Rams second half. Their thought process is what? As long as the Rams win the game, I win this bet. And I can't even blame them for that because I thought the Jets wanted to lose. So everybody's running to the window to bet Rams second half. The Jets somehow win the game, and we cleaned up on that second half.
That is amazing. Yeah, the betting public doesn't want to lay double digits. We've talked about that a bunch. So they did take the lead, but then they didn't. It was a holding call. So
Yeah,
miraculous. I did kind of lean Jets, but I didn't think they'd win the game. I just thought it'd be a rough start to the Rams, and then they'd flip the switch. Chiefs Saints, that was the marquee game in terms of competitiveness and all that. How did you guys fare on that?
We were fortunate on that game. And the reason I say that is I talked to some colleagues of ours in the industry that a lot of books got sided on that game. So you've got money line parlays that include the Chiefs, and you've got people taking +3, +3.5 with the Saints. So a lot of books got cited on that result, that Kansas City 3-point win. The reason we were fortunate, we had a guy come in and do a $70,000 straight bet on New Orleans +2.5.
Wow, he took the worst number.
So holding that guy's bet, $70,000, that's a big bet for you're talking about an individual property like the Westgate Superbook. That was an extremely high volume game. We still lost on that game because we did get cited. But winning that $70,000 instead of pushing it, if the guy had taken +3, that turned us from what could have potentially been a big loser on the highest volume game of the week into what we ended up being on that game, which was a small loser. So we were very fortunate on that game, I think. And we took some big bets on the Giants right at the gun. We still lost on that game because Cleveland won and it closed out a number of money line parlays. But we took some big bets on New York right at kickoff that helped kind of mitigate the losses on that game. So really had a lot of things go our way on Sunday and Monday in the NFL. It was a very good weekend for us.
All right, let's turn the page to next week. And the most notable game is the who's favored now at Heinz Field following the Steelers' egg that was laid against the Bengals. Give Cincy credit, but it was obviously a sluggish start for Pittsburgh. Colts are now road favorites here against a team that not too long ago was undefeated. Now they're 11-3 instead of 11-0. That's been the most notable line movement, I would say.
I agree with that. And I even just right now, right before we started recording the show, I saw a prominent offshore book go to Indianapolis -2. We're at Indianapolis -1 right now at the Westgate. It is surprising to see that. It's interesting to see that because the Steelers, like you mentioned, they were 11-0 before that game against the football team a couple of weeks ago. They're just kind of in a free fall right now. Offense is all out of sorts. They're missing some key guys on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know that I can agree with Indianapolis being favored in this game on the road, but that's where we are right now. Indianapolis is a team. They've been a darling of the wise guys all year. We've talked about that all season. And the Colts are a team that no one's looking to bet on right now.
It is fascinating that the Colts and everything, and they've been proven right a lot of times. You know, some of these performances, whether it be at Tennessee on that Thursday night game or some other ones, but they have delivered in a lot of ways. Let's just rip through some marquee games. Vikings at the Saints Island game, the lone game on Christmas Day. I'd be disappointed if I was a Vikings fan. Just the effort that was put forth last week looked very disinterested. But Drew Brees looked pretty rusty, all things considered. Give the Saints credit. They did take the lead in the second half, but just too much Patrick Mahomes. Laying the full 7 here. Obviously, it's a rematch from last year. Vikings won in New Orleans, but for me, it's Saints or pass.
What you're going to get in this game, because it's on Christmas Day, it's on its own, you're going to get a lot of people starting their moneyline parlays and starting their teasers with New Orleans. We're already seeing that. We're already seeing all kinds of moneyline parlays kicking off with New Orleans, mm-hmm. going to Tampa Bay Saturday, and then going into some of the games Sunday. Minnesota outright would be a huge win for the books. I'm not going to hold my breath. We did have a very respected player yesterday. He came in. He played this game under 52, and we moved a full point off of this guy's bet. So we're at 51 right now on the total for that Minnesota-New Orleans game.
You know, it's about my stomach on how I feel on these teasers. Like, I would rather lay a worse team than the Saints, but against a much worse opponent, right? Like, there's some other games on the card where it's like you're taking like an above average team, but you just need them to win the game versus like the Saints against a Vikings team, which is ceiling. Their ceiling is high. You just don't know what you're going to get with them. And like last week, that was an embarrassing performance at home. So
this was a wild card game last year. You know, this was an NFC wild card game last year. The point spread was right around this number too. I think it was right around 7, and Minnesota won that game, knocked the Saints out of the playoffs. So I agree. I know what you're saying. You know, sometimes this isn't really the best spot to start your moneyline parlays against a Minnesota team that does have talent and against a New Orleans team whose quarterback can't throw the ball more than 10 yards.
But not too much talent on D. That's the issue. The pass defense is still pretty weak. There seem to be some COVID issues with the Lions. They closed their practice facility a couple days. This line keeps trickling up with Tampa Bay at Detroit.
Yeah, and, you know, last week the Lions, they played at Tennessee, and we had some really sharp bettors came in at the end and took the Lions, and they got blown out. Looks like Matthew Stafford is probable for this game. We expect him to go, but we're monitoring all these COVID issues with Detroit. You know the public is going to bet on this game. They're going to take the Bucs, money line parlays, teasers. We're going to need Detroit pretty big in this game.
All right. It'll be interesting to see like who plays, contact tracing, all that fun stuff that we've become more and more familiar with here in 2020. Saturday.
I think that's fun. I don't know how fun that is.
Exactly.
It's fun.
It's got to be a headache for you as an odds maker, beyond a headache, right? And we're dealing with that with the Rockets right now, not to go too off base, but they got some issues that Yahoo report is surfacing. Go to Saturday's game. I got to be honest. I liked the Niners last week. I thought they'd run all over the Cowboys, and they kind of did. It's just their defense couldn't stop Dallas. The Red Rifle now, all of a sudden, headed to the Hall of Fame, picking apart defenses the last couple of weeks. What do you make of the Niners now in Arizona, which is kind of like their home game anyway? Cardinals laying 4.
A lot of steam on the Niners last week. Yeah, it is Cardinals -5. I was just going to say that a lot of steam on San Francisco last week in Dallas. That was a big win for the book, Dallas winning that game. We've got Arizona -5 against San Francisco for this Saturday. The most wide ticket split we have of this week in the NFL. It's over 10-1. Everybody's on Arizona. That kind of surprises me a little bit. That's not the game I would have picked out as being the really wide split, but that's what the public is betting. Everybody's on the Cardinals this game, and we're going to definitely need San Francisco. I think there's a chance we're going to have 3 pretty big decisions on Saturday, which is good.
And we're getting C.J. Beathard at the quarterback for the Niners.
Yeah, I don't know how much difference there is between Beathard and Mullins. I don't know. I mean, I know that Garoppolo, they're saying he's out. Beathard's been named the starter. I don't know how big of an adjustment that is. But the Niners have injuries all over the field, obviously.
Yeah, no. And the decision you thought would be the biggest would be Sunday night. Or maybe I thought that was. I don't know. With being in Raider town, maybe I'm wrong. But the Dolphins here laying 3 on the road. They've covered 9 of 10. They have the best overall win-loss record against the spread. Dolphins have been beasts. ATS, you know, we know about the backdoor cover against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, took care of business last week against the Patriots. I actually like the dog here. I think the Raiders, obviously much maligned. I think their offense is pretty potent. I think they score enough to cover here.
Well, it just shows how fickle the betting public is, because this is now a Raiders town, but we're going to need the Raiders pretty big in this game. The bettors are going to take Miami. They're going to take that cheap road favorite, the team that's been playing well lately, the team that's in the playoff race, going against this Raiders team that probably is looking at a backup quarterback. Not that I think there's any difference between Carr and Mariota, but they're going to go to a backup quarterback. And the Raiders, they haven't been playing well lately. You know, they were lucky to beat the Jets, and they're off of a couple pretty bad losses. So we're actually going to need the Raiders in this game Saturday night.
Hmm. So because the Raiders have failed to cover 4 straight, mm-hmm. the public, like you said, is fickle.
They go with the hot hand. They're more loyal to the hot hand than they are to the home team. And the Dolphins have been playing well. The Dolphins are right in the thick of that playoff race. And the Raiders just have not been getting it done lately for bettors.
So like you said in the past, which I just love, they're bigger fans of their wallet than they are of any team. So
there's no question about it. And I've said this for years. Eventually, I think it's years away, but eventually there's going to be a season when the Golden Knights aren't very good. And the public is going to fade them every night. That's just how the public is.
Show their true colors.
It's going to happen eventually.
This is handicapping 101. You know, don't just remember what you last saw. Rams lose to the Jets. At the Seahawks, less than 3-point favorite here.
Yeah, and Seattle didn't exactly have an inspiring win on Sunday. They beat the football team with Dwayne Haskins in their quarterback. Barely escaped. Didn't cover the spread. In a 20-15 win. I think you're going to see pretty even action on this game. One of the best matchups of the week. I'd be careful just writing the Rams off just because they had that bad loss on Sunday. Although it was a terrible, terrible loss.
I'm on the Seahawks, but not like big or anything. I don't trust Goff, and I just have to lay the short number. The Seahawks defense has improved so much significantly since like week 10. I think they're actually top third among them, mm-hmm. I should say. I just trust the Seahawks quarterback, and I think Akers is out for the Rams as well. I would need 3 for the Rams. I would need 3.
I don't trust Goff at all, but I do have a lot of confidence in Sean McVay. The Rams are a very good defensive team. Gotta think they got a rude awakening with what happened on Sunday, losing that game to the New York Jets. And maybe that Jets game, they were looking past the Jets, looking ahead to the Seahawks. And how could you even blame them for looking past a home game with the Jets? I don't know that I could even fault them for that, to tell you the truth. You know, who wouldn't be doing that?
It was strange, the 3rd and 4 and 4th and 4 throwing deep, but I guess we'll never know if they had called a different play. Sunday night should be a good one. Titans, Packers. My favorite plays on the over here. I'll get into a stat there, but first, like, what are you expecting from the public and in this game?
Well, you know, I would have been wrong if you'd asked me that question before I looked in the system here. I mean, so far, at least in our book, it's all Titans money.
Really?
And that's not what I would have expected. I would have expected it to be very public side of Green Bay and the sharp guys taking Tennessee. But so far, we have seen some respected play on Tennessee, and that's why you've seen this number come down from Tennessee +4.5 to +3.5 -120. So there is some sharp play on the Titans. I got that part right. But the public is also betting the Titans, and that's not something I would have expected.
Wow. Huh. That is interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. Now, okay. I do think there'll be a lot of money line action going to Green Bay Sunday night. Look at the time slot. It's on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not saying that in the end we won't need Tennessee. I'm just saying that right now we're talking on Wednesday morning here in Vegas. It's all Tennessee money from the squares and from the sharps.
Ryan Tannehill has started 24 straight regular season games for the Titans. Okay. So like middle of last season to now, regular season. So 24 total. One was a push on the total. So of the 23, how many do you think have gone over?
I'll go with 16.
19.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
19, 4-1. Hey. Now, what's annoying is,
you know what? I don't think a lot of people associate the Titans with being this really high scoring team. You know, the way that we always associate that with somebody like Kansas City.
Right. Right. And then the Arizona was like the most under team up until a few weeks ago. I don't know if they've still gone under. But yeah, I mean, so I was on this train a lot last year, and then for some reason I didn't do it this year, and I'm so mad at myself because Brown, the receiver, missed a couple games. When they're all clicking, but you're right. What they do is they throw to set up the run. They're different. And so that's why you see Derrick Henry so much in second half highlights, because they lean on him when they get a little bit of a lead and they almost pass to set up. And I think they like never kick field goals too. I think they're always scoring touchdowns, which is kind of funny. But
sounds kind of smart. No wonder they're winning so much if they never kick field goals.
I would say it's not
a coincidence that they were in the AFC Championship game last year, that they're leading the division this year. I think that might have something to do with a correlation of them not kicking field goals. Just a hunch.
Yeah, there's a coach out there that's after your own heart. So let's go to Monday night. I think this is my favorite play of the weekend, and I imagine I'll be on the public side. I don't care. Bills -7 at the Patriots.
This will be our biggest need game of the week. I know I said earlier that the ticket split is a little bit more one-sided on that Cardinals 49ers game, that Saturday game. But look at this. Look where this game falls in chronologically. It's the last game of the week in the NFL. So everything you write all week is going to go to this game. And it's going to be all Buffalo. No one is looking to bet on the Patriots right now. Buffalo looks like the second best team in the NFL in some ways, behind Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So the public is going to be hugely on the Bills in this game. And it's so funny because for years it was New England as a road favorite in Buffalo, and we would need Buffalo big time every time, every year. And now the complete role reversal, New England as a home dog, probably going to be our biggest need of the week in the NFL.
2001 was the last time New England has caught this many points in a division game. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just funny to see. But you know what? I don't disagree with the number, because Buffalo is playing that well. They've got a really good head coach. They've got a good defense. They've got a Pro Bowl quarterback. There's nothing to not like about the Bills.
1993, the Kelly Gunn offense was the last time the Bills were favored by this many over the Patriots. I'll say this, and the reason I like the Bills, I think like earlier when they played, they were tight, right? They barely eked out a win. They got Cam Newton, had the late fumble. I just think there's a part of the Bills that now that they've clinched, they're going to play looser. And I don't think they're going to be so scared of New England. I think they know who they are. They trust their stuff. There's a little bit more moxie, if you will. So I just think it's a looser team, and I think they're going to let it rip. And that's what's impressed me so much with the Bills. I think they finally broke through, got their first division title in 25 years. And now they're like, all right, we're maybe the team to beat outside of Kansas City. Why not us?
I think that the two teams that Kansas City should be nervous about are Buffalo and Baltimore. Those are the two teams that I'd be worried about if I was the Chiefs. Because from what I've seen, I don't think the Steelers have anything for the Chiefs. Maybe I'm not giving Tennessee enough credit, but I'd be worried about the Bills and I'd be worried about the Ravens.
We'll see about the Steelers. I kept saying last week the 3-12 days. Maybe they need one more. We'll see. They're definitely valuing, and they peaked early. They may come back to a peak. We'll see. We'll see about the Steelers. I still believe in them a little bit, but you're right. Those two other teams, for sure. Okay. This is the category I like more questions than answers. Browns -9, 9.5 at the Jets. Will New York, how will they respond to their first win?
You know, I'm looking at your rundown. You've got your more questions than answers is like the biggest column of the week.
That's NFL for you. That's NFL in general.
So you're telling me there's a lot of question marks out there. I don't know how the Jets are going to respond. They shouldn't have won, right? Like, they should have lost the game. But I know the players don't care, because that coaching staff's not going to be there next year. And those players have to know that almost none of them are in their long-term Jets plan, so they don't care. I know the public is going to be on Cleveland here. But the Jets, they've got those guys on the team. They're not interested in getting Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to go out there and try to win this game.
But there's also just the emotional high, right? Like, let's go to the next game. Bengals at the Texans. How does Cincy respond after that huge win? Because you know, if you're in the media, like you're going to practice on Wednesday and Thursday, you're interviewing them, you're still talking about the Steelers. You're not talking about the Tech. There is just a lingering component, kind of like we saw with the Jets and how they just laid it, you know, they obviously collapsed to the Raiders. It took them forever to turn the page and move on to the next game. And we saw what happened in Seattle the following week. This is a classic flat spot. Even for bad teams, they can have flat spots like the Jets and Bengals.
You know, I said last week, I thought the Bengals without Joe Burrow were the worst team in the NFL, worse than the Jets, worse than the Jaguars. And then they went out and they beat the Steelers to make me look like a complete idiot. So I don't know how much stock you want to put in my opinion of the Bengals, but I do agree with you. It seems like a complete dead spot. I also don't really have any interest in laying 8 points with Houston and Romeo Crennel. I don't know how you get involved in this game as a bettor. I'm sure that Houston will be in a lot of money line parlays, but I wouldn't really want to do that either. This looks like one of the lowest volume games of the week for sure.
Yeah, the Bengals played really hard on defense, on offense. They did all the right things. I just wonder how hard they will play the next week. We'll see. I mean, obviously, it could be wrong. They're professionals, all that good stuff. But let's go to the Giants.
They deserve a lot of credit. The Bengals deserve a lot of credit for a really good game plan on Monday night. They deserve a lot of credit for that.
At the Ravens, and I wonder, Murray, does Joe Judge listen to this podcast? Because that man was not about any field goals.
No, he was not, actually, which I respect. You know, you gotta go for it in life. We saw this number come down a little bit here. So we had Baltimore as an 11-point favorite. Guys we respect were taking that 11, got us down to 10.5. Daniel Jones is questionable. I said before last week I didn't really think it mattered that much, but I think the Giants would be better off with Daniel Jones in there. But I still don't disagree with some of the books around the town I see that don't have a number on this game. I don't think that Daniel Jones being in or out is something that's so significant that it should lead a book to not have a line on this game.
All right, a team that we definitely need to wonder about is like Bears -7.5 at the Jags. Is Jacksonville going to tank? Are the Bears now decent? A lot of questions here.
Bears have been playing well lately, and you know, getting Akeem Hicks in there is so critical for that team. He's the best player on that team for sure. And Jacksonville should want to lose. You should be pretty safe here doing a Bears teaser. Why would Jacksonville possibly want to win this game?
Yeah, I don't know.
The players don't care. That's the problem, though. The players don't care. That's the problem that the Jets ran into. Those guys aren't going to care. They don't care about getting Trevor Lawrence down there, but it's just hard for me to believe that the Jacksonville organization could be – all they've got to do basically is lose on Sunday. They're going to lose next Sunday at Indianapolis, an Indianapolis team that's probably going to be playing for a division title. So really all Jacksonville has to do here is lose to the Bears in a meaningless game, and they get a generational quarterback prospect. That's all they got to do.
That's all they have to do. So I'm alive in my eliminator pool. I'm down to 2 now. Somebody had the Steelers last week, so – Bears are in contention for my play this week. Let's go to the next game. Falcons at the Chiefs. KC letdown spot? I mean, I know they have not covered. Technically, they did cover, but let's say it was 3 last week. They have not covered in 6 straight games now. Falcons getting double digits.
Yeah, our look-ahead number on this game was 12.5, and we had guys taking the 12.5. When we reopened on Sunday night, we reopened at 11. They took 11. We got down to 10 briefly. We're back up to 10.5. Atlanta's going to probably be a sharp side in this game, you know, a big dog like that. And Kansas City hasn't covered in a while, unless you count them covering 2.5 on Sunday against New Orleans, which I don't. I think that's 6 straight weeks that they haven't covered, but they've managed to win. So I think you're going to see sharp guys taking the points with Atlanta here, not trusting Kansas City to cover a big number.
Broncos at the Chargers. This is the game where Anthony Lynn blew a huge lead. I think it was like 20-something points in Denver, and they came back and won on the last play, gave up the loss. But Anthony Lynn has had back-to-back walk-off wins. Can he make it 3 straight here?
Well, the betting public sure thinks so, because we've taken a lot of money on the Chargers here. We took a lot of money at -3, -110, moved us to -3, -120. You know, Denver was very banged up on Saturday in that loss to Buffalo. All kinds of issues in their secondary. The public is all over Anthony Lynn. I don't know if I agree with that, but we're going to need Denver pretty big on Sunday afternoon.
I think Drew Lock stinks, but he always bites me. He always burns me, so I can't really talk too much trash. What about your Washington football team at home? Short favorite, -2.5 against Carolina. Obviously, Ron Rivera knows both teams. We're not sure about Haskins and apologizing for his behavior. What's going on here?
What's going on in Washington? I don't know. It seems like there's always some shenanigans coming out of that Washington organization. Dwayne Haskins having a little bit too much fun off of the loss over the weekend. They really need Alex Smith to get back in there. I don't think they can't do any damage with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. If they get Alex Smith back in there with that defense, I think they could do something. I don't trust Haskins at all. I think Carolina is probably a good bet if Dwayne Haskins is a quarterback for Washington on Sunday. And the fact that Alex Smith didn't even dress last week leads me to believe it's a pretty serious injury.
Eagles at the Cowboys. Don't look now, but can Dallas win the division? So much to talk is like the Eagles coming on late, but Cowboys, can they win the division here?
Well, I think the Cowboys' problem, we've got the Cowboys at 14-1 to win the division, and their biggest problem is going to be that Washington has the tiebreaker against them. Washington swept Dallas. So if Washington beats Carolina on Sunday and they're a small favorite to do so, then Dallas is eliminated from the division. If Washington beats Carolina, Washington's going to win the NFC East, I think is what it really comes down to, because I don't see the Giants winning in New York, in Baltimore on Sunday. So Washington really just needs to win this game and win the division. Eagles -2.5 right now. They're playing to a little bit higher of a power rating at the moment. Keep an eye on this game. I think we'll need Dallas fairly big. Some sharp money to the under in this game. They were going under 50.5 in this game.
I can see that. I can see that. As much as Dallas's offense has been potent, I can see with Hurts in there being kind of sluggish. Okay, that did cover all the games. A lot of questions, but it's nice to see Joe Judge listen to the podcast. We thank you, Joe, for doing that. And shout out to Murray for not kicking field goals. Let's chat later in the bonanza.
Yes, sir.
I know the leagues. I know the teams. I know these players. I know this wonderful game called football.
Time now to bring him back here on the podcast because he was such a standout the last time he was on, and I just really like listening to him talk football. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Doug. Happy holidays to you and your family, and hope you're safe and healthy.
Thank you. Same to you. And last time you were on, you're sitting here telling us the Jets are going to win a game soon. They almost beat the Raiders, win later, and then the Giants. You said with Colt McCoy would go into Seattle and win. I mean, you basically said that not to – yeah, with a little bit, you know, saying it's a strong chance, all that good stuff, and you nailed it. So very few rules in life, but when someone does that, I got to bring them back soon here on the podcast. So we appreciated your insight. Well done. Tough act to follow. You could have pulled the George Costanza and never returned and just kind of rode off into the sunset, but we appreciate your coming back here.
Well, in your parlance, I guess I'm doubling down.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. Well, let's talk about this because it's actually like, I think one of the biggest storylines in the NFL, forget the playoffs, this number one pick and the race, if you want to call it that. Huge change, huge turn with the Jets winning last week. So now the Jags own the tiebreaker with New York. So if they just lose the next two games, essentially Trevor Lawrence is there. Now, I know players never want to lose or anything like that, or coaches or any, but like there is such incentive here. There's such a valuable prize with Trevor Lawrence. What do you expect from them, how to approach this game with Chicago?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the players and coaches still want to win the games, Doug, because let's face it, some of them think that they're not going to be there next year. They want to put as much good tape out there, either from a coaching or playing perspective. So I think the only thing to keep an eye on would be is if you would see Jacksonville put a couple of players on injury reserve that may or may not have been close to being ready to go. And they would have, you know, at least a couple of week injury that they can, you know, because as to take it behind the scenes, if a player goes on IR, it could be subject to a league bringing in an independent physician to make sure they have a legitimate injury. So that would just be one thing to keep an eye on. And then obviously, depending on who Doug Marrone says is going to start for Jacksonville, should be an interesting storyline. But beyond that, there's really not much you can do as an organization. You know, the hay's kind of in the barn. You certainly have the players you have. So look for maybe an IR transaction. And obviously who's going to start at quarterback for them should be noteworthy.
Now there's been some ridiculous things over the course of sports history that we didn't think were possible, right? Like they're just craziness. I mean, Bounty Gate and some other stuff. I don't even want to list them all. There's been so many, you just never know. So I guess my question to you, and this is coming from a guy who's asked Barry Melrose, can you take a sumo wrestler, put put pads on and put him as a goalie. Like, I ask and think of ridiculous stuff. So take it for a grain of salt. But, like, is there a point, like the Greg Williams thing, we know he got fired, but, like, if you were trying to lose, you would do something like that. Can the Jags, like, just run power eye, like, basically all game, even with their starters, and do something like that? Or is that just going to be draw the attention of the NFL and be a major fallout beyond that?
Yeah, I think it more fundamentally does. Again, I think anything would happen before the game. Like, you know, okay, if they would put, you know, again, a player or two of, like, complete that wasn't hurt or certainly didn't seem to be hurt on IR, you know, and let's say it was, you know, Gardner Minshew or James Robinson, like, they could do that. But once the game started, that they're rolling, they're trying to win. So again, the hay really is in the barn. So I think between, like, now and kickoff, we got to just monitor the transactions and see if anything was going to happen. It would be before the game.
Right. And they haven't won since week one for a reason. So some would argue that they don't really need to try to do any of that. But I just wanted to ask you again, I can be sort of the conspiracy theorist and things along those lines. So I like to ask. So let's turn the page to some a little bit more interesting games this weekend. I'm going to read you four games and our listeners can partake as well. And, you know, which of these teams has a chance, let's call it a decent chance, to maybe lose their game. Not that they will, but, like, you know, certainly on upset alert, so to speak. New Orleans at home on Christmas Day against Minnesota. Tampa Bay at Detroit. We're monitoring the Lions' COVID practice facility and everything. Texans at home to the Bengals, coming off that monster upset at Monday Night Football. And then Monday night, Bills at the Patriots.
Boy, that's interesting. I would say the Texans, just because Cincinnati's playing hard right now. I was really surprised to see them move the ball. I didn't think that was going to happen. You know, Ryan Finley's been a disappointment. He's made plays with his feet, and Houston's defense has been poor. So, yeah, on paper, it's definitely, I would favor Houston, but I think Cincinnati has a chance to beat them, and let's give them a lot of credit. They played really hard and played a complete game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was blown away how hard they played, but then it made sense. It's at home, Monday Night Football, all that. We talk about in the betting world, like, the flat spots and things like that, just because there's an ebb and flow to a season. You wonder, like, we talked about a couple weeks ago on the pod, you weren't here, but, like, the Jets off that demoralizing loss, I thought would be basically checked out midweek. And, you know, and Adam Gase said as much when they were trying to prepare for Seattle. Like, I wonder how much focus this week is on for the Bengals is on the Texans. But you're right. Of the quality of the teams, Texans have, you know, their defense is not good.
Yeah. I thought they were going to give Chicago a much better game than they did. I thought Mitch Trubisky really moved the ball effectively a week ago, Doug. And again, based on how well Cincinnati looked and how poor Houston played, I think this is a game that should be a lot closer than people think, with Cincinnati having a real chance of winning.
Okay, let's go to the next one. These are all sort of coin flip games. And I mistyped in my email. There's going to be four games, so eight teams. So either the home team, the road team, any of these teams. Which of them do you feel most confident will win the game? And let's go through it. Colts at Steelers, Rams at Seahawks, Carolina at Washington, Eagles at the Cowboys.
Oof, boy, these are all coin toss. I'm going to go with the Steelers, and really for two reasons. First of all, their defense hasn't been the same without Devin Bush and Bud Dupree, which makes a lot of sense because those are difference makers. But I believe in Mike Tomlin, and I think they are a prideful group. And based on how poor they played, I think, one, they're going to play more physical than they have. And two, I'm not just a big believer in Phillip Rivers. I still think he struggles getting the ball down the field. I think he struggles with pressure. And I think we're going to see Pittsburgh. This could be their last stand, Doug. And when they know that, you know, they 2 weeks ago, we're talking about the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. And now we could be talking about them as a wild card team.
I know, right?
They're going to want to have a home game, so I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I misread the Steelers. I thought they'd – because I was chalking up that struggle, that stretch of struggles, because they did start out 14-0 against Washington. That game kind of got weird with the late field goal before the first half. Alex Smith kept the football. It was just weird. I just thought it was about playing three games in 12 days. I just thought that was a lot to ask of NFL players, especially late in the season where they already have the wear and tear of a season on them. I thought that would be really refreshed for that game. They weren't. Does it take another week? I mean, am I just reading into that too much? Because I was expecting a crisper and sharper performance from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a totally fair point, which is, you know, another week of rest will probably do them well. And again, this is a home game for them. I think the Colts are a good team. They're a tough team. But I do think that if they have an Achilles heel, it's Philip Rivers getting the ball down the field. And even though they're without Dupree, without Bush, you know, they still have T.J. Watt. They have Hayward. And they have enough pressure players that could give Rivers some fits. And, again, this is a huge, huge game. Well, it's huge for both teams. I think it's much more important for Pittsburgh just given what's happened the last couple of weeks.
What do you make of Big Ben's struggles?
You know, I talked about that a lot going back to August. I think it's human nature at its finest, which is I saw in my own career with Brett Favre, Vinny Testaverde, Jay Cutler. Ben Roethlisberger is an all-time great, multiple Super Bowl winner, Doug, going to the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But at some point, you've made so much money. The human body only has so many hits in it. And you're seeing a guy that has a diminished skill set, has trouble protecting himself, and doesn't want to get hit. And that's really a combination where the field gets compressed. And now the depth of the safeties can be a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you're seeing some of these bigger hits like we saw with Smith-Schuster and Von Bell. The reason that's happening is because of physics. It's spacing. And I know some people say it's about the pre-game dance, but really what it's about is when Von Bell's not worried about having the ball thrown over his head, he could come down, and it really affects the spacing. And even if he there's a great expression, Doug, even if Ben hits a couple of long foul balls, he needs to throw the ball down the field, even if it's incomplete, because right now there's no DB on the field that worries about having the ball thrown over his head.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick talked about that when they broke up a pass. He said the DB, and I forget who it was, might have been Bell, didn't even backpedal. He moved his feet to stay light and be able to move in any direction, but he did not respect that receiver going by him. And that happened all over the place. Yes, that first touchdown coming out of the halftime was sort of deep into the back right corner, but for the most part, he was not throwing deep. So you're right. I mean, that's a great observation, and they got to figure it out. And maybe a running game could help too, just to alleviate some of the pressure, and so he doesn't have to rush throws and not get hit.
Yeah, and Doug, I know this sounds crazy, but again, if you hit a couple of long foul balls and throw the ball 50 yards downfield, even if it's incomplete, that will help Pittsburgh open up things underneath. And as you mentioned too, obviously to get the play action game going off of a good run game would also help.
Yeah, and even Finley did that, right? He underthrew a couple deep throws, but at least they had to respect it. Then guys like A.J. Green and others were at least open underneath because Fitzpatrick and company had to at least start respecting the deep throws, the foul balls, as you would call them. All right, my man. Mike, thanks so much. So fun to pick your brain. We could do this for hours. Appreciate it. I know our listeners do too.
Thanks, Doug. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, back with Mr. Executive Director here on the Bonanza. Big move, because I took one on the chin with the Steelers, $3,300 imaginary dollars. I did win a dime with the Saturday favorites teaser, Buffalo and Green Bay. Murray, you go 1-1, lose $50 of juice. You're plus +800 on the season. You have narrowed the gap because of my loss. I'm plus +4,800, 4,825.
You know, we closed New England minus -1.5 here. You know, that very disappointing. I think they were up 6-0 at halftime. Just gave it away in the second half. New England let me down. New England let me down big. Although Atlanta almost gave away their cover too, if you remember that. Tampa Bay could have kicked a field goal there to win by 7, which would have been bad for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone's kind of just I didn't understand that sharp money. I just think New England stinks, and I think I liked Miami less than a field goal, but that's neither here nor there because I'm fading.
That's hard. It's hard to argue with that. You know, honestly, that like we were talking about that on Sunday. I know we're kind of Monday morning quarterbacking on that, but after the game, some of us in the risk room were just saying, why did all these sharp guys bet on New England? What did they see?
Well, I'll tell you what.
And why did John include it in the bonanza? What the hell was he thinking? I don't know.
I watched the broadcast, the entire broadcast. I heard the audio, and Tua threw that pick on the goal line. And then I forget who was the color analyst, but he said second half, I think it was Pitts. He was saying that Tua is such a good learner. There was things that he was doing in the first half and he adjusted by second half. So like he tucked it and scored a touchdown. He was pointing out that in the first half, he forced a throw instead of just deciding, being decisive, tucking and going, not lingering in the pocket and then under pressure, throw it off your back foot or whatever. So Tua has just seen things in the first half. So his learning curve is really steep. And maybe previous rookies that Belichick ate for lunch. Didn't do that, kind of didn't have that evolution within a game. So that's probably what it was. Gilmore got hurt as well. He's out next week, I believe, yeah, which is part of my bonanza handicap. But I did want to mention that because I don't think it was like stupid play. I just thought it was like a little bit too aggressive back in New England, given what we've seen from their offense. And I think Miami's defense and Flores knowing things, having come from the Belichick coaching tree.
Fair enough. And I'll say one more thing about the Dolphins. Very bright future with Tua, with Brian Flores, with all those draft picks. It'll be a lot of years coming in our future here where we're going to watch Miami and Buffalo duke it out for the AFC East, especially now that it looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to be in the AFC South.
My things have changed. A year ago, we were talking about this worst team ever early in the season, and then look what's happening to the Dolphins. Yep. Okay, so I'm up on the tee box. I don't like this card. I hated last week's card. I don't like this card. I do really like a teaser. I'm going to fade Jacksonville. I think they should not win. I'm going to trust that they do not. And if they do, then it's a miracle. But I'm going to go Bears in a teaser. So down to 1.5 with Buffalo on Monday night. I think they take care of business. I'll back the Bills at Gillette.
How much are we talking?
We're going to do two dimes.
I just want to make sure that Darren out there is taking notes.
No, he's been helpful.
He's been good. I have two straight bets. They're both small underdogs. I'm going to do them both for 1,000. I'm going to push my luck. It's Christmas.
It is Christmas.
I'm going to go 1,100 on. I see our friends at Stations have a rogue number here. I'm going to take the Rams +2. I'm going to do that one for 1,100 to win 1,000. Is that your only play? Do you want me to give my other one?
That's my only play.
Until
the eggnog kicks in over the weekend.
I'm going to go Carolina +2.5. Also for 1,100. I don't think it's going to be Alex Smith. I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. And I don't think that they can win with Dwayne Haskins as their starting quarterback against a well-coached Carolina team. And I'm going to talk to my good friend, the Prince of Props. I'm going to see if he can produce something for me to tweet out on Friday, Christmas Day, for that Saints-Vikings game. Because otherwise, I'm not going to be able to watch that game. I'm not going to care at all. So I'm going to lean on him to get me through that game.
Yeah, we need a little stocking stuffer from the Prince of Props. So please, please help us out in that regard. All right, Mr. Executive Director, Uncle Murray, the new uncle.
Yeah.
Congratulations again to the family. That was awesome. We learned that in the last podcast. And thank you again. A lot of fun. We'll obviously chat next week on a more conventional work week for us heading into week 17. But Merry Christmas to you and your family. Hope to see you soon, too. We're out here. I've only seen you like once. But we'll figure it out.
We're both workers, Doug. We're both working men, man. We don't have time for those kind of shenanigans anymore.
Maybe a hike? Maybe a nice hike in the morning or something?
Yeah, I'm down, man. Hit me up. I'll be around, except I pretty much work every day.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. All right, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you again.
All right, bud. I'll talk to you later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks to Mike Tannenbaum for jumping in with us and sharing his wisdom and insight, and also Mr. Executive Director. Always good to get him on. And thanks to everyone for listening. A lot of shout-outs on Twitter about the Steelers pick, and all I can say is thanks for listening. Nah, it happens. It's a long season. We've been doing well. But really, I went to an event on Friday last week outdoors. It's something in Las Vegas. Saw someone, one of the loyal listeners. So it's good to interact with everyone. Appreciate everyone taking their time to downloading and subscribing, rating, reviewing, all that. And continue next week again. College football and NFL separate podcasts next week. And thanks to everyone. We're winding down the regular season. I also want to give a shout out to the producer of this podcast, Christina. We appreciate all your help. I hope you have some much deserved vacation this coming weekend.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Good stuff there, and good stuff rallying the troops with the guests. And we're going to have some fun stuff planned in 2021. We're going to add an element to the pod and maybe some more changes. So I hope everyone likes the direction we're headed with the podcast. And, we'll talk. We'll have one more week of pods, two more pods between now and 2021. So have a Merry Christmas to everyone, and we'll touch base next week.